From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Friday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll be joined in 15, 20 minutes, something like that, with Terrence Metcalf, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, current offensive line coach, Pearl River Community College, also the father of one DK Metcalf, a pretty important part of Ole Miss's 2018 season. So Terrence will be on the Billy's Pecans hotline here in a bit. We will also talk about Media Day at Ole Miss yesterday. Talked to a good many football players. Matt Luke spoke to the media for around 15 minutes as well. Coaches also in the grill for the media opportunity. So a lot of content coming to you from rebelgrove.com over the next few days. And we'll continue fall camp coverage. First practice today. I'll be out there this morning to give you whatever I see and can interpret from that viewing period. So, podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Go in, get the Speed Pass Plus app, download it to your phone, make gas buying easy, also a little cheaper because you get some discounts and different things with Speed Pass Plus. You also can go next door to the Oxford Crystal, get the mini cheese bites and more while you are there. Ribs for dinner tonight, maybe at the Oxford Exxon if you so choose. Plenty of options, plenty of daiquiris, and more at the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West. And again, coming to you in the Clark Ford Studio.
You had me at daiquiri.
That was the number? That was the thing?
That was the key thing.
Yeah, more on that in a minute. Go
ahead. There's a decent chance I'm drinking my dinner tonight. 662-257-1900 is the number. Ask for Corey Clark there at Clark Ford. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for, what maybe previously owned Ford you're looking for. I've done both. It works. You ask, you get a quote. Quick. Within 15 minutes in business hours. Usually faster than that. And then it's up to you. You get that quote. You can shop it around, or you can take my word for it. Take the word of a lot of podcast listeners, rebelgrove.com subscribers who have let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the car buying experience. You get a great Ford product. You get tremendous service after the sale, delivery options. They're just great people, and they do everything they can to make it as easy and hassle-free for you as possible. It's Clark Ford and Amory, and then at the end of your deal, tell them that you heard about Clark Ford on any of our family of podcasts. For example, Jay Tate and I taped episode 22 of Greatest Pod in the South, presented by Cathead Distillery, last night. That will be up at some point today. And mention any of it, $500 off the bottom line from your deal at Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. By the way, for those of you who like Greatest Pod in the South, more of a nighttime edition, probably Jay and I have discovered that you're probably in luck, because like yesterday I was slammed with Ole Miss stuff. Today he is slammed with Auburn stuff, so we had to do it last night. And
so somewhere in between the ones that are taped at 1 p.m. and the ones that are taped in Atlanta hotel rooms is what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe a happy medium.
Yep. Probably makes you a little more comfortable, because of all people, you seemed to there were moments where I can see the gears in your head going, is this a great idea what we're doing right now when we're in Atlanta?
Yeah, we had the late night one in Atlanta where I thought two. The second one, I remain quite relieved to this day that Jay was too far gone to edit and possibly post that podcast that night.
Oh, because he would have left in things.
Well, the next morning I sent a message that said, I think we should delete this, 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 and this.
And it was full segments, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. We deleted a good hour.
You guys talked for over 2 hours that night?
We started in the second inning of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Uh-huh.
That game had been long over, and it went 10 innings when we finished.
At no point did Gabe go, I probably should leave, and this is stupid.
I think Gabe had that thought, but I think he was enjoying it too much.
He was being a good soldier.
I think he was having a fun time fighting with the Army.
Okay. Good enough. little announcement here. We put this off, not really put it off. I had to get a few I's and T's and different things. I mentioned on the message board a couple weeks ago, we'll start live shows this fall.
Oh, we're announcing now. Okay.
Yeah, in Oxford. Well, we might want to since it starts in 6 days. So,
it does. You're right.
Yeah, starting August 9th, Thursday, next Thursday, and proceeding, I'm assuming at least all Thursdays through football season. We probably will take a Christmas break or something, but for the foreseeable future, Thursday nights, starting around 5:30 in Oxford at Funky's, we're going to do a live show, about an hour and 15 minutes. And for those who can't be there, it will be Friday morning's podcast. So that's the way this thing's going to work. We're going to have guests. We're going to have some different things for you each week. There'll be discounts inside the establishment as well.
Maybe a trivia giveaway.
Yeah, a lot of stuff here working out. I'm sure we're going to get Blue Delta involved, some game day pants ordered from them. Great product we always tell you about. I know Lee's already told me that I know two of the things next Thursday. They're going to do $12 large pizzas. They're going to do $2 domestics or two of the specials next week as well. So
some daiquiri deals too, right?
Yeah, going to get a daiquiri deal. Probably going to have like a specific daiquiri every week that we discount is kind of the way I'm thinking.
Which one?
I don't know yet. Okay. I hadn't made my mind up yet for the first week, but that's kind of what I'm thinking. But anyway, at Funky's, first guest next week, Todd Wade, former Ole Miss offensive lineman, former NFL standout as well. Todd's going to be in with us, have a mic in hand, and we're going to shoot the breeze for about an hour or so. So come join us. It'll be a good time. No cover or anything. Come hang out. No cover. Sorry, I'm not going to be that greedy. No cover or anything. And we'll do it every Thursday. It'll lead you in.
I was hoping for like a $10 cover. And we could.
It'll lead you into whatever the football games are on Thursday night. Once that starts, you can come. You can hang out with us and then hang around for the game, make the game, whatever you'd like to do, because there's always a decent college game or NFL game on Thursday night, typically.
It's 4 weeks from right now. We'll have a real game to talk about. I know there was
real
a game. There was a game last night.
I did not watch a snap of the game
last
night.
I saw a few snaps.
Did you?
Okay. Yeah. Bears and Ravens, and I don't remember how it ended. I think the Ravens won 17-16.
It was 17-16.
About the fourth quarter.
It was probably like a really sad moment for my wife last night, because we were sitting there, and I was scrolling through the guide, and because I was watching golf, and it was like the second tournament of the week going on, and she's like, come on. Like, I give you preference on the first one, but this is the runner-up tournament. Do we have to do this? And I said, no, it's fine. So I'm flipping through, and typically she likes whatever those dumb shows are on NBC at night. You got America's Got Talent, or you've got, Dancing with Stars, or that crap. And I'll typically turn it over there, then start playing on my phone, honestly. And she goes, what was on WMC? And I said, football. And she goes, hold on, what? And I said, yeah, it was the first NFL game. She goes, no, it wasn't. And I flipped back. I said, yeah, it's Bears-Ravens.
Yeah, Bears-Ravens.
And she goes, already?
Yep.
And I said, well, it's preseason, but, yeah, it's here.
And that's preseason to the preseason.
Yeah. There's not a game today.
Right.
So.
But they played.
They did play.
An American tackle football game.
It is kind of nice for it to be back.
Oh yeah,
there's a comfort there. There's a pillow involved when football's back.
Yeah,
so
yeah, for sure,
it's all good.
It was Trubisky did not play.
What's the right amount of preseason games in your opinion?
In general,
yeah.
Oh gosh, I think you could get away with two.
Two.
Yeah.
I don't mind a third, with the understanding that it's basically the dudes on the last part of the roster and it lets me see them one more time.
Yeah.
My starters are not playing any at all.
No, and I don't know. I think it's one of those things where, maybe you charge a different ticket price. Maybe even do the thing where you let people in who would otherwise not be able to go to a game.
Yeah, I guess that's not bad.
But whatever.
Urban Meyer appears to be still employed this morning, best I can tell. But yeah, we'll get into plenty of Ole Miss stuff here in a bit after Terrence. We got a couple minutes though. I thought that it went yesterday how I expected it to go. Matt Luke continuing to be very open, very honest, very approachable. His players seem to be very, very comfortable with this coaching staff, with him. Because, again, look, they're not meeting these guys for the first time today. They've been practicing for a while. They've seen people around.
What are you saying?
Yeah, I'm saying what I'm saying. I wrote a story this morning discussing, and you had mentioned this a little bit. I think you talked with Sean Rawlings about it at Media Day about, everybody talks about changing the culture. What is that? What does it mean?
Right.
Maddie from the Clarion Ledger asked that question of Matt yesterday. And essentially, it's mental toughness. It's an ability to try to stay in the room that's not just noise. You know, Hugh Freeze always talked about, hey, we got to get rid of the outside noise. Houston Nutt was big on that. And Matt appears to be not just having a platitude, but trying to figure out ways to actually accomplish that, considering the fire that was involved with his program. And then it really does, though, it encompasses mental toughness. And last year that was necessary from the standpoint of just making it through the season, salvaging something. They got rewarded a little bit. They went 3 of their last 4 to end the year last year. Even against A&M, it was a very disappointing loss, but the defense doesn't give up a touchdown in the second half. There is a step there for them as a positive in that game. And this year, they've got to stay there. They've got to build on it. Matt talked about that multiple times yesterday. And also the way the schedule works out, that type of perseverance is going to be very, very important, because their first 7 games are some winnable home games and some road games that are winnable as well. Nothing's crazy in that first 7 games other than Alabama at home. And the last 5, it's either a road SEC game or a ranked team at home to end the year. So they're going to have to find a way to really kind of hang in there of that meat grinder there at the end. And I think the way the schedule works out, the tenets that Matt's been preaching, I think if there's a chance for it to pay off, that's maybe where it pays off, is they do something to keep some momentum, or at least to not limp home during the finish of the season.
When I was a kid, we used to go water skiing all the time.
You mentioned this all the time. You and ULM and water skiing and stuff.
We did. We used to go water skiing all the time. And okay. I can remember there were mornings that you would get up and you'd go out to the lake. We went to Arkansas a lot, and the lake would be really choppy. Water was really choppy.
Okay.
And my dad was the type that, we're here, we're skiing, damn it. Get in the water, let's go. And you'd look at the water, and you're like, man, I'm going to have some, those are going to be some falls that are going to hurt.
Okay.
That analogy is what I would give to Ole Miss last year. This time, the water was really choppy. And everybody could talk like it wasn't choppy, but you could tell it was really choppy. Yesterday was one of those mornings, to continue my really stupid analogy, that when you went out to the lake, it was pretty calm. And you knew that maybe later in the day, after a bunch of boats had been on it and the wind had picked up and stuff, that the water would be choppy. But for right now, the water's really calm, and it was a really good time to hop in the boat and say, yeah, I mean, hop out of the boat, give me my ski, let's do this. You were going to get to do your little tricks with the slalom. You were going to get to spray. And
you could do the tricks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I was actually good at it. And, okay. And you know, you got to get out wide and get kind of parallel to the water, and you didn't have to worry about a choppy wave knocking you down and making you pee on yourself, you know, after you got hit so hard.
Okay.
Yesterday, the water was pretty calm. There was a calmness. There's a... I don't want to – this. I say this stuff, and it sounds like I'm making fun of Hugh Freeze, and I'm not when I do this. I've made fun of Hugh Freeze. I've criticized some things. I'm not. Freeze had a way of doing things that I think the message got stale. And it might, 4 years from now, get stale for Matt Luke. I don't know. We'll see.
There's a part in every coach's tenure where that message has to adjust some.
Yeah. So, but I think they had grown weary of commitment ceremonies and a ceremonial wristband and read this book and parables and the Bible lesson of the day or the week or whatever. I think that stuff had gotten old.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think fans are going to be very comfortable, if nothing else, with the steadiness, the direction of the program from that standpoint. I mean, you've wrote this several times in 10 Thoughts on different things. I mean, I kind of alluded to it too. You know, and Freeze definitely did early as well, but I don't know how Matt's going to do. I know how he's not going to do. They might win a ton of games. They might not. You never can question what he's going to do as far as dedication and work effort with that program. And, you know, for fans, all the decisions have been made by this point. At the end of the day, that's all you can really ask of somebody is to care as much as they freaking care, work as hard as they can, and the result's going to play out like it's going to play out. I mean, nobody's superhuman here. Nobody can do more than their physical skill set is allowing them to do. And with Matt, I think that there is a certain sense of calm that there's no doubt he is going to turn his all the way up and see where it goes.
I've said it numerous times. Yeah. I've written it numerous times. If what you want out of your coach is 100%, is for the tank to be emptied,
all good.
You're going to get that.
Yeah.
What will those results be? We'll find out.
Credit to him yesterday, again, from a media standpoint, led the press conference with this guy's eligible, this guy's not, this guy's hurt. Moving on.
He's actually... For a guy who
he mentioned Noah Jefferson's name within 18 seconds of that press conference starting.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He never played in the NFL.
No, I don't think so.
And he's never coached in the NFL.
If so, I'm forgetting it.
Yeah, so. There's nothing wrong with that. Neither of a lot of people. I'm just saying. But my point is, as someone who has covered the NFL, he has a remarkable NFL quality about his press conferences. Here's the info you need. Okay, now you can ask questions.
You've covered a decent amount of them. I haven't, but I've seen them. We see the mistake, especially today on social media. To be in his second year, it is fairly, and really because he started this from day one, so it's really not even progression. His understanding of how to play along with the media and assist in positive ways. It's fairly impressive because you see so many experienced coaches who get set in their own ways that won't do it, and you see so many early young coaches that just don't have a clue. I mean, it does have a very NFL media mindset to it in a lot of ways.
I think Matt is so level-headed. This is my observation from talking to him some, from covering him some, that as long as the media that are covering him are fair, he understands that the media can't really help or hurt him. And there's really no reason to make fair media the enemy. If a kid breaks his leg, we're going to write about it. I mean, we're not hoping a kid breaks his leg. We didn't break the leg. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not the best example. But if a kid gets arrested for shoplifting, for example, well, we're not the ones that were out there going, hey, player A. Steal that right there. I mean, if it happens, it happens. You might as well just address it. And I think he's smart enough to figure that out.
He beats Texas Tech 42-10. Nobody's spoiling that moment for him in the media, no matter what they write on that Saturday afternoon. So
yeah, let me let you guys in on a little secret here. We're not up in the press box cheerleading because, A, it would look stupid. B, you can't write well if you're emotional. You just can't do it.
And beyond that, you can't write timely.
Right. Because you have to either calm down or you have to pull your spirits up. So we cheer for the clock in every game. If you offer us two wishbone teams running at each other for an hour and 40 minutes, we're in.
We were all so excited about, like, because it was a day game when they played Wofford that day. It was like, they're going to run the triple option. They're not going to stop. It's going to be... You know, hey, like, just get a few first downs, like, you know, just run it a little.
Well, they were going quick too, and I turned around to their SID and I said, "Hey, what's y'all's fan shop address? Because I'm going to buy some gear. I love you guys." You know, it was just my point is that yet if you came down and said, "What do you guys want?" Oh, for the love of God, give them a win,
a fast blowout.
I mean,
that's what I'd like.
Let them win the game. I mean, I don't. I'd much rather cover 8-4 than 4-8.
My week is really good when they win football games.
It's just easier.
Yeah. I'd like for you to win the game. I'd like for you to do it in about 2 hours and 28 minutes. That's what I'd like for you to
ideally.
Do.
Ideally. Yes. And so when people say, you guys hate whatever, no, I don't know. That's BS. But now I'm up. When I'm in the – I have no control. And I think Matt's the guy that's smart enough to know that, like last year when they lost the Arkansas game, you're going to get some tough questions. They're coming. It's part of the job. And you have two choices. You can bristle at them and make your narrative part of the story, hello, Houston, or you can answer the questions. It's big boy football. I just think he's smart enough to know that. I think he's going to handle that stuff really well. If you coach in this league at this level long enough, you're going to have some big wins and you're going to have some excruciating losses. You're going to have some wins where people are asking you questions about, hey, tell me about that last Kentucky. Tell me about that last drive. What was going on? What were you saying? What happened? Did you ever lose confidence? Blah, blah, blah.
Because it happens positively and negative. That's what's funny, because you do, hey, Kentucky, what happened on that last drive? Then you do, hey, Arkansas, what happened on that last drive? Yeah. Same question with two completely different connotations.
And I think, I really do, I think that he, unlike some of his predecessors, I think Matt Luke has actually taken some time to understand, okay, what is their job? What are they doing? How can I use them? This is what smart coaches do. How can I use them to help me?
Mm-hmm.
Not do my work, but how can I use them to get a message out? How can I use them to change the tone around my program? Because you can tell kids, hey, don't read. They read. I talked to multiple kids yesterday, and I can tell you they read. They know what's being said. Ole Miss's linebacker core, I can tell you, I talked to three of them. I'll write the story here in the next 48 hours. They know the narrative. And like one of them said, I get it. Still puts a chip on my shoulder, but I get it. I look at the stats. I saw the stats.
Mm-hmm.
I can look at the stats the same way you see the stats. And so my point is, I just think there's a difference. I just think he's – and frankly, I'm really impressed, because it's almost what you would expect from a guy like Kermit Davis, has been at Middle Tennessee long enough to know, okay, there's more media, but the questions are the same. The stuff's the same. I know how to handle this. Matt never had those 15 years at Middle Tennessee or Louisiana Tech or somewhere like that. But he paid attention. I know for a fact he did research before he did his Media Days appearance. Watched some video. Just a different level of prepared. If you're an Ole Miss fan again, the waters are pretty calm right now. I know there's a lot of angst among some people about the appeal, about what happens with the appeal. It appears that while certainly they would love to win the appeal, meaning Matt Luke and his coaching staff, they would love to win the appeal and be postseason eligible and have that carrot to hang out, they're not going there. That is out of their control, and they're not going there. And so they're going into the season of, hey, we're not bowl eligible. We have 12 games. Let's make the most of them. And then if something happens and you get a 13th, well, so be it.
Good for everybody.
But they're not doing all that talking about it. That's out of our control. Can't do anything about it.
Yeah. We'll go to Terrence in 1 minute. Before we do that, I'll tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773, mastercutslawn.com. Sign your annual contract. Tell them you heard about it on the podcast. They'll help you out there, as well as they can build outdoor living areas, outdoor kitchen areas, decks, fences, and more. Really anything to do with your yard or landscaping, MasterCuts can help. 662-607-7773.
The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Ask about their lease deals as well. If you're driving 15,000 miles or less a year on a budget, that, like most of us, that might be an option for you to look into. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. We've been telling you about Robert Gambrell and Gambrell and Associates for a while. Robert knows that many of the people listening to this podcast will never need a bankruptcy attorney or a Social Security disability attorney. However, many of you will be interested in reviewing your financial situation to consider asset protection, and this is a part of what a good bankruptcy attorney does. Also, many of you have friends or relatives that get into difficult financial situations. Gambrell and Associates helps many people work through their times of hardship, whether that results in filing a bankruptcy petition or working to avoid a bankruptcy filing. Others are more worried about their credit scores. For those people, often they'll refer them to Brian McLaren, another advertiser on this podcast. Sometimes people have to find the fastest way to rebuild their credit, and sometimes that's tearing it down, sort of like the Cubs, the Astros, what they did. Other times it's filing for relief under Chapter 7 to get a fresh start. But whatever your needs are, you and your relatives or friends can get a free consultation for an hour or more to help make your decision on what is best for you. Go to avvo.com or superlawyers.com. Search for Robert Gambrell or give him a call in Oxford, 662-281-8800. Podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. You can filter through by what you're looking for and then send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com.
Podcast is brought to you by Tyson Drugs. Tyson Drugs there in Holly Springs, 662-252-2321. So Sildenafil, many other things. You go to the website, download the app. You can fill out forms and get it without even really talking to a soul. So good idea there. They deliver wherever you are. They're also now in Oxford with G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar. They are retooling and offering you great local service and delivery in the Oxford area. Now, on the Billy's Pecans hotline, it's Terrence Metcalf.
Terrence, thanks so much for spending some time with us here this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing good. I guess first, before we get into some other things, kind of give us an update on what's going on with your coaching career right now. Where are you, and where, you know, what's your team getting ready to do?
Right now, down at Pearl River Community College down on the coast. We're just kind of on vacation right now before we head back in on Sunday, getting ready for fall camp.
When you were a college player, I guess it was, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. We're all getting older, but what was fall camp like? I mean, when fall camp rolled around, were you pretty much ready for it? Was it a sense of excitement? Was it a little sense of dread, or maybe a little bit of both?
Well, one thing, you know, you really didn't have much time off from football because you're in summer school June and July. They give you a week off prior to going into fall camp, so you were always ready. I guess I was at that turn where there was no time off during the season. Because you have a fall season, you have a spring season, and you have a summer season. So, man, when this time came around, you had been away from football, competing for a long period of time, and you're tired of seeing each other, you know, just in the weight room and running. And you're just excited to put those pads on, man. So I was always excited for just the contact part of fall camp.
I want to talk about this team, your son's on this team at Ole Miss. It's funny, there's a lot of talk about, you know, Greg Little and A.J. Brown, two in very, very good football players being, you know, first-round picks. DK gets talked about in that same breath, but maybe not quite as often. People want to see what he has to prove. You know, if maybe he can improve on a few things. I'm curious, inside your home, has the discussion of the fact that, hey, there could be a decision to make in a few months. Has that come up yet? And if so, sort of, how do you talk through that?
Well, not so much as the decision that needs to be made. It's more so, you know, focusing on what you have to do for this season and for this team and who you represent this season, you know. So that's been our biggest conversation, just building on what you did last year, your personality, how you carry yourself on and off the field, making sure you give glory to God for anything that comes your way. Don't focus on the noise outside of what you guys are doing at the field house, in that locker room. Making sure you're on task with your classroom work and things like that. So we kind of just kind of gravitate away from that because you want to stay focused on what you need to get done during the season more so than worrying about what an analyst, NFL guy is saying or an agent is saying or, you know, if there is an opportunity for you to come out because you still got to perform on the field even for anybody to even – acknowledge the fact that you do have an opportunity to come out. If you go out and you don't do what you're supposed to do, then that neither here nor there. You will have to go back to school. You will have to give it one more try. So I definitely kind of – he knows it's there. He knows the opportunity is there. But I try to stay clear of that because the person, the university, those are the things that I care more about. And when that time comes, I definitely told him that, you know, the Lord will put him in the right, set him off in the right direction with that.
You know, I was talking to Greg Little about this yesterday, and he was talking about how he really spent the off season working on his hands, very, very concentrated on getting better with his hands. He and I'm jumping around a little bit here, but I want to make sure in my old age, I don't forget to ask you this. He was talking about how he thinks that the receivers, running backs, DBs, that kind of thing, they get a level of technical education in football that linemen maybe don't get, that linemen don't learn how to use their hands until they're a lot older. I'm curious, you as a former offensive lineman, both at the college level and obviously with the long NFL career, can you expound on what he's talking about?
Well, one thing that I will say this is, when you come from a line of coaches who are technicians with the footwork and zone blocking concepts and things like that, like we were when I was at Ole Miss, we were more of a zone power type team. So we didn't focus as much on the hands, but the minute I stepped into the NFL, that was one of the things that I completely focused more on. We would bring a guy in each week to kind of work hand drills and hand placement, aiming points and things like that. And the coaches will reiterate that too. So there is some validity in what he's saying about the concept of using your hands. But back in my time, I would say, yeah, but now because football is always something that you work on. So you got all these different specialists and you can watch on so many different social media outlets about different things that you need to be doing as a player. So to me, there's every phase right now, every coach on every level should be teaching kids how to use their hands, how to punch. I know there was something I started out in Pee Wee in Oxford. Then we moved to middle school. Then I moved over to the high school. And that was something I reiterated to the offensive linemen all the time. You have to be able to use your hands to create separation. They're just as important as your feet. So I would say, you know, that's something that I would say every offensive lineman has to focus on. When you're a wide receiver, you know you got to get your hands up quick to keep the DB from jamming you on the line of scrimmage. And the DB, same thing. He has to have his hands ready and set to use them so that he can feel when a wide receiver is changing directions and things like that. So there is value in what he's saying. I just, you know, at this day and age, I would think that that's something that every offensive line coach is teaching on every level so that kids will progress from each stage in their career.
I'm curious. You have a lot of background in coaching now. You played NFL. You played football at the very highest level. When you're with DK, is it ever difficult to separate dad from coach? I mean, do you just cheer and support, or do you catch yourself wanting to give technical tips? Does he come to you for tips, or does he come to you just like, hey, just be a fan?
He's going to more so come to me for advice on life more so than the tips and things. Now, he will take my criticism or more so corrections on things that I may see him not doing that I feel that he should be more focused on. But it's not hard for me to separate that because I've been with him from Pee Wee football all the way through high school, and this is the only time that we've been separated on the field, at the house, you know. So that is not a hard transition for me. I just know how to pull back. I was a player at one point. I know how much I wanted to be talked to and how much I didn't want to be talked to. So when it comes to giving my advice, I'm there once he asks for it. But when it comes to me making corrections on things that I feel like you need to hear, then I make those corrections as needed. And I'm grateful that he still gives me that. Because, you know, at a point in a kid's life, they grow, they mature, and sometimes they don't want to be talked to. But he has always given me that opportunity to be dad and coach. The same.
Terrence, I know football has been obviously a huge part of your life. What made you wanting to get into coaching, you know, especially at, you know, even the JUCO level, and kind of see how your career has progressed in that point? How'd you kind of decide to go that route?
I can truly say, man, the kids here in the Oxford community the kids in the Oxford community and the Oxford community itself, just the parents, how they really rally around the kids who may not have what some will call just parents that get involved, or you know, some kids, if you really get involved with Pee Wee football and things like that, you'll really see like the struggles in some kids' life, and you'll see where in this community, when I first moved back here in 2009, I got involved with Pee Wee football, and I saw how this community rallied around all the kids, and I got involved with helping out with the Pee Wee team while I started a business here in town, but I was doing football in the evening time, man, and it was just that calling that that the Lord manifested in me. It just showed that I was made to do this, do the coaching thing, be on the coaching side of things, and it just progressed from there. And just seeing the growth in the kids and how if you commit yourself to them, how they will respond in a positive way regardless of what's going on in their lives, that was one of the main things, to be honest with you, that drew me. And once I got bit by the bug, I just went for it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, what's the challenge of the JUCO level from a coaching standpoint? Because you've got some kids that are just trying to, you know, play at that level and know that's it. You got some that you're trying to develop for the scholarship and the next level. Then you've got some that are trying to, you know, make the most of the second chance and different things along those lines. So I would think you've got to kind of be a chameleon and be able to coach a lot of different kids differently based on what's going on with them.
Definitely, man. One of the biggest challenges, though, that I've seen, the kids are from Mississippi, so you got talented kids that's going to be a part of your team. But the biggest challenge is to get them to develop the mindset of team. A lot of times the guys are there to go on to their next spot. You know, everybody, you may get those kids who say, okay, I know I'm a JUCO player, but I would say 95% of the kids on our team down at Pearl River Community College believe that they were either supposed to be D1, nobody wants to go Division II. Everybody believes that they're supposed to be D1. So it's creating the mindset of competing where you are, loving what you're doing while you're there, and buying in to the program while you're there. That was one of the biggest challenges for me, getting a team concept in the mindset of the kids that we got. Because every year, man, your team changes dramatically. And you don't have those guys that you coach for 2 to 3 to 4 years. You only got a two-year window span, and you may have a 3-year with some kids that may understand the red shirt process, which they're paying for themselves in school. But just getting them to understand the team concept has been the biggest challenge. And once you do that, you can find success in the young men.
You guys have some Saturday games that's going to overlap and make you miss some of DK's. What's the schedule look like there? Because, I mean, obviously you're having to make some sacrifices to follow this pursuit of yours.
I tell you, this year, the biggest sacrifice is the time away from home during the week. But this year I only have 2 Saturday games where I will miss 2 games. But I'm fortunate that my wife loves football, Tanya, and she gives me play-by-play once I'm off the field. Our times doesn't conflict where I can't watch it on television like the second half, but she does inform me on what's going on and how the team is progressing or degressing.
Do you get a sense from DK that this team's a little more comfortable this year, that things feel a little steadier, if you will, after all of the tumult of last summer?
Just talking with him, being at home this week, yes. I do feel like he really feel that the team is a mature team, even though there'll be we always know that there'll be a lot of young guys playing, but the guys that are in the leadership role, those are the guys that I know Coach Luke will be counting on, and DeKalen really feels that they got their head on straight. They've been working this whole time, and they're just ready to go.
Well, listen, we really appreciate the time. Best of luck to you this season. We'd love to kind of catch up with you as the year goes on.
Chase, Neil, man, appreciate you guys having me on.
Thanks, Sir Terrence, for joining us this morning. Always appreciate times with our guest. He gave us a few minutes out of his vacation for that before he heads back to Pearl River spends a lot of time, obviously, watching DK in Oxford as well. Before we continue on the podcast, I'll tell you that if you're in Collierville this weekend, there is an open house at 1252 Braygood Drive, Collierville School District. It's a 5-bedroom, 4.5-bath house. Stacy Berry has the listing. You can give her a call at 901-481-6420 for a private showing or show up at the open house. Again, 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon. You've got an office. You've got another media space for watch parties. It's a split floor plan. You got a renovated master bath and plenty more, including 3 bedrooms and 2 baths upstairs. So Stacy Berry, the name to know in Memphis with theberryhometeam.com or 901-481-6420.
Meanwhile, the name to know in the Birmingham area is Megan Phillips with LAH Realty Estate. She is the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit her website, MeganMPhillips.com. That's MEAGANMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. The podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. As we tell you, it's hard to believe, 5 weeks from today. A lot of you will be rolling into Oxford for the first home game of the season. And Southern Illinois comes to Oxford September the 8th. So it's the first of 7 home games at Vaught-Hemingway, first of 7 tailgating opportunities in the Grove. Whether you're coming up for one of those games, whether you're coming up for all 4 league games, or whether you're coming up for every game, 7 South Tailgating has a package for you. That includes whether you have a really intricate, complicated tailgate setup, or whether your tailgate is as simple as possible. 7 South has a package for you in that regard as well. If you tailgate with 7 South once, you'll never tailgate without them again. They've been doing it for 10 years. They'll set up your own gear. You can rent everything from them. No one's going to match their customer service, their attention to detail. So get in touch with Kyle Thornton and the people there at 7 South at 7southtailgating.com.
That's the path to setting up your tailgate. The path to setting up your locker or suite in Vaught-Hemingway is Locker Stockers. You place your order, and they handle purchase and delivery to your locker or suite before game day. They can do it for Vaught-Hemingway, the Pavilion at Ole Miss, or Swayze Field when baseball gets here. Give them a call, 662-586-1487. There are discounts for doing season packages, multi-sport packages as well, and their email is info@lockerstockers.com. I think Terrence and his wife are probably the 2 people that still call DK to Kalen.
They're probably it.
Think so?
Probably so.
You know, DK, though, back when, because I think, you know, he committed when he was in like 8th grade or something. It's been years. I mean, we've known him forever. And I remember calling him the first time and going, hey, everybody calls you DK. Do you want me to switch it on your profile? No. And he was very adamant he wanted DeKalen on his rival's profile for his mom. He goes, no, it's DK. It's DeKalen. Let's stick with it. So,
and then we got to Ole Miss. Immediately it was DK.
Yeah, but I think he went through pretty much his whole high school career with his rival's profile being DeKalen. Because
I remember that.
Because we had you got to spell it to then get it to link on the way our thing works. And I always go, okay, so it is DEK. Like, I had to kind of in my head go, how do you spell that again? So,
but it was the old admin.
It was the old admin that was – when we say old, I mean, even in 2014, 15, we were still using an admin that I think was built in about 2002.
Well, it was built by someone who was running from a Tyrannosaurus Rex at the time. So,
yeah,
it was a little clunky.
You couldn't hyperlink players' names without using HTML code. And charts and graphs and things were, I mean, in all seriousness, we do some of those, like, position preview things or matchup analysis. And the lines of code would be 1,000 lines long. You'd have to insert the code and then find all the text and color, like, you know, the hex colors and stuff inside, and change the numbers. I mean, it was quite a pain that, when I look back, was incredibly wasted hours and wholly unnecessary. But I spent lots of hours doing it over the course of several years.
Oh, remember all the talk about where's the depth chart, where's the roster? And it's like, you just don't – it's just building this damn thing is
– hours and hours and hours and hours.
Basically the entire summer.
Yeah. Because you had to go in and re-input every player, and then you had to hope it goes into the right place and links into the right place. And then they'd want you to go in and fill out the starting lineups with those roster spots. It was quite quite a problem. So we have advanced. We're into some semblance of the modern age now. Appreciate Luke and all those guys helping us in that path. You know, we do have a website, rebelgrove.com. You should go read it, check it out occasionally.
You got a website?
Things. We have a website, I'm told.
Yeah. How's it work?
Well, you know, it's like some people go, like the guy on the board, and he wasn't being rude. I mean, like, I'm not frustrated or mad because y'all are just you're a podcast selling site. It's like, no, still a website, still a lot of content. It's July. This content will pick up now that football has arrived. It's all good. So, what?
No,
you have a weird look on your face.
I always get a little irritated at the
people. You always get a little irritated. You could have stopped there. Anything else is redundancy.
I get irritated at people who do not embrace capitalism.
Is that why you hate 98% of journalists in the country?
Probably.
Well, one of the many reasons why you...
It's a big one.
By the way, what's Ohio State doing from a media standpoint? Are they actually making anyone available?
No.
None? Zero? I'm asking. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't see this?
No, I have not. Sorry.
Oh, well, let me let you in on the brilliance that is Ohio State.
Sorry, I've seen nothing. Go ahead.
It's okay. Ohio State has declared that all practices will be completely closed.
Okay.
And that there will be no media opportunities for the foreseeable future. None. No players, no coaches, no nobody. They don't trust their players to be able to stand in front of writers and say, I'm only going to talk about the football team. I can't control what's going on outside. We're not letting it be a distraction, blah, blah, blah. Instead, you are turning it into a clown car.
So how long does this last?
Well, they formed a private select committee to dig into this. Of former judges and people. And
whoa, what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this is like the NCAA commission. This is the Ohio State version of the commission.
They are very clearly, Chase, trying to decide one of two things, and I don't know which it is. They're either trying to come up with a way to settle this, or, and I'm leaning in the coming direction, okay?
Okay.
I think they're trying to figure out a way to salvage this, to let him be their coach.
You really do.
I hope I'm wrong. I've got the beginnings of a little migraine going on right now, so maybe I'm not thinking exactly straight. But yeah, we talked about this yesterday. I hate to be redundant.
Oh, you're good. Go ahead.
The concept that Urban Meyer didn't know that Zach Smith was beating the hell out of his wife, Courtney, is impossible for me to believe. Can you believe it? You're a smart guy.
Well, I mean,
is there any part of you that rationally believes that?
Oh, I give it a zero chance, not even a 1% chance where you go, hey, maybe they were so smart they thought ahead and did the plausible deniability thing and all these things. No, zero. Absolutely zero.
Because last night I taped the greatest pod in the South with Jay, and I love Jay. He's one of my very dearest friends. And Jay was trying to come up with a way to kind of take up for Urban Meyer a little bit. And I was like,
was he doing it out of his own actual opinions, or was he trying to make the podcast more entertaining?
No, he was doing it out of his own opinions.
Was he really?
He was.
Jay is a very
complicated person.
Well, yes, but not forgiving, but very empathetic. He really tries hard to see other sides of arguments and situations.
He doesn't think this should be the end of Urban Meyer's coaching career. I do.
He sees the good in people.
He does.
Jay typically leans positive. Except when it comes to hairstyles.
Yeah. I told him, I said, is this, and he finally relented a little. I said, I had to give away the show, but is there any part of you that buys that explanation? That Shelly Meyer never told her husband Urban? Because he said, Chase, at Big Ten Media Days, that was the first he'd heard of it. Which is a lie. It's an absolute lie. And so to believe that is impossible. Therefore, you must believe that he knew about it back in 15 and maybe sooner, but he definitely knew about it in 15. Probably, almost certainly saw the pictures. because I almost willing to bet you that Shelley Meyer was smart enough not to forward them to her husband, but to show them on her phone. And so you have to believe that Ohio State is trying to figure out a way to protect him, because by God, winning football games is more important than any level of decency at these big programs. It's why, I'll be honest with you, and I've said this all along, you guys accuse me sometimes of being a hater. I'm gonna have to fight not cheering for Matt Luke, not cheering for Barry Odom, not cheering for Will Muschamp. I'd like to see some of the good guys win big.
Well, you know, and again, there's a lot of fans that just want to win, and I get that this is not skizing or the end all be all. We've always said, look, you know, it's what with Hugh Freeze we talked about. Yeah, you have a platform, but the only way to keep that platform is to win football games. You can lose platforms or anything very quickly if you lose, sure, and the scoreboard doesn't go your way. But Ross Bjork, after all the crap he's been a part of and dealt with since 6 months from when he took the job at Ole Miss, because the Adrian Wiggins thing happened in October of the first year he was hired. He's had to deal with nothing but crap the whole time. He probably puts his head on the pillow and feels pretty good about the integrity and the personal lives of Matt Luke, Kermit Davis, and Mike Bianco, where he can go to bed and go, we're probably all right from that standpoint when I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen with a bunch of 18 to 22-year-old kids.
Yeah, he can't handle all the players right now. You got 105 football players. You got 35 baseball players. I mean.
But when you're dealing with personal scandal with your coach,
it's a whole different
ballgame. I mean, the odds are pretty good some 21-year-old is going to make a bad decision.
Yeah.
They're pretty decent chance.
But tomorrow afternoon, if somebody reports something and goes, hey, one of those three head coaches did whatever, I'm probably not believing it without some pretty dang hardcore evidence.
Yeah, there's a certain, and again, calm.
Yeah.
But back to Ohio State.
Yeah.
Tell me how, help me here.
Uh-huh.
That's where I wish we had call-ins, because if we did, I would say I want to hear from our 5% right now. That's what I want to hear from. I want to hear from our female listeners. What percent of prospects that you go out and recruit have a mom? 90-something percent?
I mean, I would assume, yeah.
I mean, there's a few that mom has passed away, or that maybe there's a rare situation where mom's.
But it's the overwhelming normalcy.
So how do you sit down in a room with a mom, with a woman, and say one of two things? We care about the way our players treat women, and I'm going to do my part to make sure that your son becomes a better man in Columbus. How do you say that? Because you know what's going to happen the next day when Mark D'Antoni walks in there? Hey, you are aware, correct, of this? I'd like to show you these stories. I'd like for you to read them, because that's what you're sending your son to. How do you, as Urban Meyer, look a woman in the eye and say, I care about the way women are treated? I care about the way the people inside my program treat women.
So what will be the angle if he survives?
I don't know. You tell me. You're smarter than me. I'm sitting here. I consider myself to be a quasi-intelligent person.
The only way to do that is to completely lie and blame somebody else. That's it. There is no logical way to say that and mean it.
Well, there's no logical way to lie.
Well, there's no logical way to tell the truth.
Oh, the truth? No, see, that's right. I'm with you. The truth would have been.
I'm talking about now, though. Moving forward in recruiting, you just said, how do I convince? Well, the truth is not convincing, because the truth is the complete opposite of that. So the only way to be convincing is to lie effectively. That's it.
What would the lie be?
I don't know. Not my problem, but
that's why I don't think the situation is reparable. I don't. I don't think it can be fixed. I don't think you can continue on if you're Ohio State. And I'm literally stunned that as we sit here on Friday morning, nothing has happened. Because I think they're determined to try to find a way to keep him. Because he's a hell of a good football coach, and he's beaten Michigan 6 times.
Well, I mean, I might could beat Harbaugh right now, but sure. By the way, did you see what's going on in Boise this morning?
No.
To bring some levity to the conversation?
No.
So, breaking this from Joe Paris, he's a TV reporter in the Boise, Idaho area. About 100 goats are on the loose right now in a Boise neighborhood. They're going house to house and eating everything in sight, and no one has a clue where they came from.
Just see it now.
Goats in yards just hanging out. 100 goats.
Someone says someone tried to clone Javi Baez and it went horribly wrong.
100 goats. What would you do if they're in your yard?
100 of them?
Can you shoo them? What do you do?
I guess. I've never.
What if they run at you and attack you? They have horns.
Goats aren't aggressive, though, right?
I mean, I think they kind of can be, but no, I mean, I don't think they're going to go out of their way to come batter around your door down or anything.
I don't know what I would do. Have you seen some of the photos?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're just everywhere.
My God. And they're hungry.
Well, goats eat everything. That's what they do. I mean, there's no I'm hungry or not hungry. They just eat. Grass, food, tin cans. Forgive me
for not being an authority on goats. Yeah, I mean, apologize.
There's cliches for a reason, Neil. You're hungry as a goat because they never stop freaking eating.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Really?
I've never heard the cliche hungry as a goat.
Yeah, I think that's a thing.
I've heard hungry like the wolf, but never hungry as a goat.
Yeah, maybe it's a Mississippi thing.
Like Nabs.
Look. It's short for Nabisco. It is a peanut butter cracker.
How many Nabs could a goat eat?
An unlimited amount of Nabs. CJ Johnson agreed with me on this, so I'm right. We both, I don't know what the.
Oh, God. Yeah, they're climbing trees. Can goats climb trees?
Now that I don't know. I'm sorry. I got you off the Urban Meyer thing, though.
You did. Yeah, I'd rather turn my program over to a bunch of goats than Urban Meyer.
There's no way he survives. Look, I know what you're saying, and usually I'm the guy that goes, hey, so-and-so is going to coach again, so-and-so is fine. At the end of the day, there's no way. It's over.
How attractive is that job?
As attractive as any job in the country. Period.
They could literally get almost anyone to come take that job.
They could, yes.
Because that job's going to be handed over to somebody. It's not going to have NCAA issues. And Urban Meyer, if you're right, and I hope to God
well,
you
and
are.
I mean, I thought it was interesting they handed it to. Now, look, both those other guys have problems. But the interim coach.
Dan Wilkins says they don't.
Yeah. The interim coach is not one of the two guys with head coaching experience on that staff. They have Greg Schiano on that staff. He's got all that Penn State crap. And then, And then they've got Kevin Wilson, who left Indiana under very suspicious circumstances.
Dan Wilkin said that Greg Schiano's situation was overblown, that he didn't know anything.
Yet Ohio State did not hand him an interim job for 2 weeks
well, they're
while they
stupid.
Sort this out. Well, he didn't say that because that would have frustrated Ohio State, and he can't frustrate Ohio State.
John Curry was going to hire. If John Curry were the AD at Ohio State,
he'd be done.
Greg Schiano would be the new
coach.
Where
is John Curry other than making a lot of money to do nothing?
Making a lot of money doing nothing.
Okay. Good job if you can get it.
Oh, it's a great gig. I haven't stumbled across a way to do it yet.
Yeah, well. You got to get a really good job and get fired from it. That's the goal.
You got to get a great contract and then get fired.
You need Jimmy Sexton to negotiate the contract and then get fired.
That would work.
That would work. So, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. Understand your market. A leader in condo financing and the float down option. 662-234-2704. JLO, JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Hey, Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often. So be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB is locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, all without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000, and with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. So OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. So to learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com. Or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Just reading on Twitter this morning, Henry Ulrich, who I profiled earlier during the baseball season. Doctors have cleared him to play basketball this year. So
good for him.
Congratulations to him. He played baseball this past summer. Going to get to play basketball this
tried out for a team.
Yeah. Been traveling a lot. So, again, congratulations to Henry. He said he's been listening to the podcast on his road trips. And
well, hey, Henry, proud of you. Keep going, big boy.
So, just running across that on Twitter this morning as I'm listening to you with one ear and playing on the internet and the other one.
But, what a neat kid.
Oh, there's no doubt. Great family. So, you talked to Kermit. We'll use that in the last segment. What was that about yesterday?
Well,
video up at rebelgrove.com, practice video up at rebelgrove.com as well.
It's pretty rudimentary. For those of you who are wanted better video, I get it. Here was my deal, and Chase can relate to this. I had basketball at 2:30. Kermit talked for, I don't know, a while. And then we got to go shoot or watch some of practice, but I had to get from there to the Manning Center to do football. And so I was limited on time, but I got something. You got to see them do something.
Yeah, leave for Canada tomorrow.
Like I said, something's better than nothing. They leave for Canada tomorrow.
They play a lot of games. A couple are streamed.
Yeah, they play 4 games in 5 days. They're having a team building day outing in Montreal. They're going to a water park, and I asked the really hard-hitting question because you can't mention water parks to me and expect a follow-up not to happen. And I think Kermit Davis was exposed to day one of, oh, he's the one that's going to ask weird questions. And I can't help it.
You ask about lazy rivers.
I just asked because there's different kinds of people at water parks. There are people who are there for the slides. The bigger the thrill, the better.
Yeah.
They go down the little steep one, go back up, do it again, go back up, do it again. And then there are people who slather on the sunscreen, get in the little river, and float.
You're a floater.
No, I'm a slider.
Are you really?
Oh, yes.
See, I had you build for a floater.
Oh, no. I slide.
Okay.
The bigger the slide, the better.
Really?
Absolutely.
You've always been a slider?
Always. So I said, are you a water slider or are you on the lazy river? And I think he looked at me like, are you being serious? And I was being serious. And he, or as serious as I'm going to get, about an August basketball press conference, and he informed me that he was definitely a lazy river kind of guy. I thought a couple things were interesting along the lines of things you said the other day. It's not really about winning and losing in Canada. They like to win because winning is more fun than losing, in the words of the great Nuke Lelouch, but it's an opportunity to get a message across that you can't really do in practice. You can yell in practice, and you can stomp your feet and yell and scream and maybe say some bad words. But the universal way to get a message across to a basketball player is come sit by me.
Yeah.
You didn't defend correctly. You didn't do what I told you to do on defense. Come sit. I'm going to take the most precious thing away. And for those of you who are not familiar with basketball players, they all have one thing in common. They love minutes. Basketball players love minutes. Give me minutes. Baseball players want at-bats. Basketball players want minutes. You can never have enough minutes. You're allowed 40 minutes in a game, and every basketball player you'll ever meet, especially
like
good
40
ones,
minutes.
They want 41 minutes.
Yeah.
Unless they can get 42. They want to play. And so the way you get that message across is you sit them down. and he's going to be able to do that. Some of the guys are not going to be quite as happy flying back to Oxford as they are flying to Canada, but the message is going to be gotten across to them is, hey, there's a standard, and you have to live up to that standard, or I'm going to sit you. And here's an early observation, and this is based on watching layup lines. Okay, so be cool. They're a little deeper athletically than they have been in the past.
Based on layup lines?
It's just more athletes.
Okay.
There's less dead space on the roster. Now, their low post play is potentially a problem, and anybody who says it's not is delusional. But we'll get to all that later. He's going to be able to experiment a little bit with rotation, and he's also going to be able to get that message across. And from listening to him talk, getting that message across appears to be priority one.
Yeah, that's the funny part of this is, I mean, we don't know if they'll be adjusted a little bit or not, but, you know, a lot of people go, oh, you know, Kermit, he won't be like Andy. No, he's might be harder than Andy. Kermit is
yeah.
You're not getting a soft pass with Kermit Davis in the building. Let's put it that way. So there's going to be a little shell shock at some point.
Yeah, there's going to be some people that sit in those seats right behind the bench thinking it's going to be a little bit different this year.
And it will be a little bit different this year.
But maybe not the way you thought.
Kermit is competitive.
There will be paint that will have to be repainted at times inside the pavilion because the paint's going to peel off the wall. Unless he completely changes the way that he coaches.
Yeah, but in middle, he was...
And I'm going to guess that Kermit Davis, who's in his 50s,
yeah, late 50s,
probably not changing his stripes.
This is the way I coach.
This is what I do. He's good at it. This is what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what is next week? The moment of truth.
Yeah.
First exposure to truth.
To all of it, yeah.
But I think kid's buying in. He likes his team. He's... Again, another guy in press conferences, similar to Andy. Get honest answers.
Bobby Wall made his Mets debut yesterday, pitched to a couple different batters. First pitch was 97 miles an hour. He's hit 100-some with the A's in his career. He and Mike Myers both hitting 100 miles an hour in the professional leagues after starting for Ole Miss those 3 years and not really getting that close to it. But especially with the Mets, Wall could stick. He could hang around a little while there with their situation currently going on with a friend of the podcast, Mickey Callaway. So
yeah, good luck to Bobby and good luck to Mickey, but that front office is an absolute train wreck.
They are both in really bad situations given the administration ahead of them. So
that team, okay, I get it on Jacob DeGrom. I do. I get it. I don't agree with it, but I get it. I don't get it on Noah Syndergaard. I'll be honest. He's a hell of a pitcher, and when he's healthy, he's throwing 101 miles an hour, but he's not always healthy. And you could have gotten a fortune for him on the trade deadline. Nope. We think we're going to compete next year. I don't get that. The one I really don't get, Chase, they've spent 2 years trying to get Zach Wheeler healthy. He's healthy. His last few outings were really good. You have value for the first time in forever on a guy that is almost certainly going to break down again, and you don't trade him. Mind-boggling. You have holes all over your team, and you don't trade an asset. In a division where you're not catching the Nationals, you're sure as hell not catching the Phillies anytime soon, and you're sure as hell not catching the Braves anytime soon. The Phillies and the Braves, all you have to do is have two eyes, and you can see that those two teams, those two franchises,
are emerging into two teams that are going to really, really hate each other over the next half decade.
Yes, but if you're the Mets, those two teams are not going away. Those two teams are going to be a giant pain in the ass for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
And the Phillies... The Braves to some degree, but the Phillies to a much higher degree have the pockets to really become a phenomenal pain in the ass if you're the New York Mets. And that's before you even talk about the Nationals. That's before you even consider, well, what if the Nationals figure it out? But you're guaranteed two colossal pains in the ass, and you don't know what the Nationals are going to be, and you're the Mets, and you're going, oh, we're ready to compete. With these holes all over your roster. I bet Mickey Callaway at the end of this season, You know, we look at president pictures. We looked at George W. Bush when he first walked in, George Obama. W. Bush when he left, Barack Obama when he first walked in, Barack Obama when he left. I bet Mickey Calloway's before and after picture, God bless him, is something similar. Because not only that, he's got to stand up there 2-3 times a day and look at all of the New York media, and they're tough, and say, oh, no, I believe in this. I believe in this front office.
I think it was still going to play out like it played out. But, you know, we had Mickey on the show, and he talked about, you know, the Mets offering so fast and whatever. You do wonder if there's a piece of his head going, what if I'd waited 48 hours? Were the Phillies going to offer that job?
Sure.
Am I in Philadelphia right now?
In an organization that gets it.
Yeah.
And that might go spend. Listen to anyone in baseball, and they'll tell you that Philly is lined up, ready to go after Manny Machado and possibly and Bryce Harper. Not or, and. The Braves are really good. The Braves made some smart moves. The Braves still have pieces to trade. The Braves still have money to spend. The Nationals are a deep-pocketed organization, and you're the Mets, and you didn't make a deal for involving Zach Wheeler at the deadline when you could have gotten anything. You could have gotten more value for Zach Wheeler. Look at what Tampa got for Chris Archer.
Yeah.
It's unreal. I remain mind-boggled.
All right, we'll be back with another podcast on Monday. Again, you get a greatest pod in the South today, as we talked about when we open. We hope you'll join us next Thursday at Funky's as well. Again, food and drink specials. Todd Wade in the house. We'll have a good time, and plenty of coverage at RebelGrove.com as we continue fall camp. Getting started this morning. Check RebelGrove.com later today for that story up today as well, and some basketball notes as they head to Canada. Talk to you Monday.